2022. It is our regular business meeting at 4:33 p.m. And so we'll go ahead and get started. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Once again, welcome to the school board meeting, and it is a pleasure to have you here with us today. So, we'll go ahead and make some introductions. We'll start on the right-hand side this time around. We'll start with our agency clerk, Ms. Erin Lieben. Next to Ms. Lieben, we have school board member, District 2, Mrs. Anita Burnett. Next to Ms. Burnett, we have Mrs. Jamie Haynes, vice chairman of the year for District 1. Next to vice chairman, woman, I'm not sure what the right
Vice chair.
Okay, there we go.
Gender neutral.
We have Superintendent Dr. Scott Fritz over to our left. We will start with Mr. Persis, representative for District 4. Next to Mr. Persis, we have Mrs. Linda Cuthbert, representative for District 3. Next to Ms. Cuthbert, we have Mr. Ted Doran, our school board attorney, and I am Ruben Colon. I have the pleasure and honor of serving as the chair this year. Items for approval on this agenda will be 1.03, 3.01, 6.02, and 17.01. There will be several opportunities for public participation. That includes before voting on the consent agenda. At 6 o'clock, we will have a time certain of 15 minutes for public comment as it pertains to the general education of Volusia County. Time will be allotted for public comment before any vote is called by the board. And in addition to that, any additional cards at the end of the meeting will be heard for public comment for items pertaining to general education in Volusia County. Item 1.02, District Vision Statement and Board Member Comments. It is at this time that we go around and share everything that has happened or try to remember everything that has happened since the last time we met. So we will start with Mrs. Haynes. You're first on there.
Yeah.
Well, thank
Good.
You.
Mix it up, Mr.
Yeah, mix it up. So this is National Breakfast Week, and I've already been out serving breakfast. And one of the neat things today is that the DeLand Police Chief and the DeLand Fire Department Chief actually also joined me at DeLand High this morning. So I thought that was neat. And I don't know if other schools are doing this, but DeLand High, they're giving kids tickets if they come in to get their breakfast. And they're doing a drawing, and each day there's different prizes. And today, if you came in and had breakfast, you got your tickets, and you could earn two $10 gift cards to Chick-fil-A. Wow. So I thought, you get free breakfast, and you might be the winner. but this is the first time, though, that I've actually served breakfast at a school where some of the culinary students came and also volunteered this morning. And so two of the young ladies from the culinary program came and actually also helped serve, and I guess they've been doing this because they want to also give back, and I thought that was really a neat thing. Yesterday I did a middle school. I will say DeLand High's breakfast this morning looked outstanding. So hats off to all the people in Schoolway Cafe that are out there and working hard every day to feed our kids. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert.
Not only did I serve breakfast yesterday, but also a lot of read-ins going on, especially the African read-in at Terry T. Small. It was delightful. And I do want to publicly apologize for spilling coffee on their media center carpet. I think I made a lot of other people comfortable because they, too, have probably made that mistake. So it's always nice when someone who's not supposed to do it does it anyway. But it's always wonderful for me, especially to have spent my life at the secondary level, to visit elementary schools. And also I had a blast at Coronado Elementary, who had an artist's night. And even the guest artists, I marvel. I cannot draw one bit. Ask me to arrange a shelf, no problem. But I cannot put one up, nor can I draw one. So I marvel at the talent so many of our students have. I wish I had in my whole body what so many of them have in their tiny little fingers. But otherwise, it's been a very eventful week. It's going to be even more eventful coming up as the new quarter comes in. I wish everyone a fantastic thrill to the end of the quarter, which is in 2 days. We have spring break and then back for the long stretch to the end of the year already. So happy spring break, everyone.
Ms. Burnett.
Thank you. So I was able to attend the Teacher of the Year event at Embry-Riddle as well as Ms. Cuthbert, and it was very nice. And Futures always does such a great job of making sure that people are recognized in many, many ways because you're not always able to make one event, so they make many opportunities. And while not many people were able to attend, it was still nice to see, and they did a great job. And I want to give a shout-out to Ms. Schultz, too. I was able to attend the family night for the first one in a while, and it was very well attended. I know I got there a little bit late, virtually, but it seemed like there was a lot of participation, and I'm sure that we'll have more of those to come. So thank you and your team for that.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I also want to do a shout-out because we were at the women's basketball game to Dr. Barrio, who was also with us, who kept us all company. He was quite the hot date that time. So.
Put me in, Coach.
So thank you.
He was certainly surrounded by a lot of women.
And he was all ours.
Okay. Mr. Persis.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sure you all had fun at the basketball game. I had a good time. I was at Terry T. Small reading to students, I think it was the end of February, fourth grade class, great class there. And I'll tell you, there's a buzz at Terry T. Small about the new school. I was asked three times, you know. I'm like, whoa, I'm just here to read, you know. But anyway, yeah, so they're excited. They know that something good is going to be happening. And then that following Monday, I was at Palm Terrace for an event there, but ended up eating some great fried chicken, so that was always good. And invite me to your school if you're having fried chicken. I am there. And lastly, I was judging a science fair at Tomoka Elementary, and that was kind of special because I used to be the principal there, and two of the other judges were former teachers that I were there when I was there, so it was great for us to catch up too. So, yeah, it's great being in any of our schools. So many great people that you meet, and super teachers, and just a lot of fun learning going on. The children are always wonderful, so I always enjoy it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Fritz.
I have nothing, sir.
All right. And so I want to bring up, first of all, shout out to Deltona High. They had their 5K, the Health Academy put on. This is the Color Run is what it was. And so that was very well attended. I had the pleasure of joining at the Science Olympiad. I think that's where I was.
Nice.
That's what it's called. And let's just say that there were schools from all over the state, even as far as Pensacola down south, and in the middle school category. First place, team from Galaxy Middle. Second place, team from Galaxy Middle.
Let me guess.
And third place, team from Galaxy Middle. So let's hear it for Galaxy Middle. I mean, clean sweep. In the high school category, I think the land in Spruce Creek placed. I believe that's what it was. And then it was a school from outside of the area. Congratulations to them, too. And then Pine Ridge. There is something great happening at Pine Ridge with the arts. And I know we talked about the arts last time, but their band got full straight superiors going to state. So it is super exciting as that is just amazing. It's an area where I think we have lots of opportunity, at least in my side of town. And I'm really excited about that because I think that that's just the start of what's to come. The band there, and I'm not just saying that because you're here, Doc. And there is just amazing. So I'm super excited about that. And that is all that I have.
Awesome.
Thank you. Mr. Doran, anything?
No.
You didn't see me coming, did you? All right. Next up, we have our approval of the minutes for meetings from February 22nd. Board members, you've received the minutes for review. Are there any changes or objections? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion's been made by Mr. Persis, seconded by Ms. Cuthbert. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. All right. Next item, 2.01, Mr. Superintendent, are there any agenda changes to the agenda before I present it to the board for approval?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. Next up, approval of the agenda. Board members, you've heard the proposed agenda and have seen it from the superintendent. Are there any proposed changes to the agenda by any board member? All right, hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion's been properly made by Mrs. Burnett, seconded by Mrs. Haynes. I'm going fast. I know we're trying. We're going to make it out of here. All right. And any other further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. All right. Next item up, really, really exciting one. 3.01, administrative appointments. Dr. Fritz.
This time, I'd like to ask Adrienne Palmer to come forward. As Adrienne makes her way here, you'll know that, board members, as I shared with you, we had an assistant principal vacancy at Pine Ridge High School due to a retirement. Went through an amazing interview process last week, and I'm going to tell you that Ms. Palmer will be my recommendation. Let me share with you a little bit about her. She earned her bachelor's degree from Missouri State. Then she earned her master's degree from Missouri Baptist University and her educational specialist from Nova Southeastern. She began in Volusia County Schools in 2012 at Heritage Middle School. She's also been a teacher on assignment at Deltona High School in DeBary. She's been a program specialist for students with disabilities as well, and I believe she was one of our top five teachers of the year, so very, very proud of her. She will take on the role, if approved by this board, as the assistant principal for curriculum at Pine Ridge with an effective date of 8 hours from now.
Oh, golly.
So she is my recommendation, board.
Wonderful. Board, you've heard the recommendation of the superintendent. Do we have a motion?
I make the motion.
And do we have a second?
A second.
You're good. Motion's been properly made by Ms. Haynes, seconded by Ms. Cuthbert. Any discussion?
So this is, just to be clear, this is her first assistant
Correct.
Principal
Yes.
administrative job.
Yes.
And she's entering it right at spring break and everything else. Yay.
I'm excited. I'm ready.
I know you are.
Well, I do have That's a comment. Great. I'm really
excited
for
you.
For Ms. Palmer, when I first came on the board, I had a young lady reach out to me and say, sir, I'd like to interview you to find out what you do on the board and what you don't do. And we sat down and we had a great conversation at Deltona High. And I knew at that time that she'd be going somewhere.
Yay.
And then subsequently thereafter, she became the Teacher of the Year, one of the five finalists. And so... I think I believed in her probably a little bit more than she did, but I am super excited to see you here today, and I'm super excited that we are going to be taking this vote. Any other discussion?
Yes. So I'll never forget when we did come to your classroom to name you as one of the five finalists, and everyone was saying all of the wonderful things about you, but the greatest thing was one of her students said, so can I talk about her now and say how wonderful she was? And that's when you know about her and what a great impact she made. Now, I will say I'm a little jealous that I'm having to give her up.
She's coming back home.
But we do this quite often. But she's done a fabulous job at DeBary Elementary. And I think she's made a lot of friends there. And I know that they're already going to miss her. But I couldn't be prouder. And so, yes, you might be going over to Pine Ridge, but, you know, maybe at some point, you know, down in the future, you'll want to come back over. But if not, I'll come see you there. So, thank you.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hold on. You're not leaving without a speech.
So I did prepare something. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay.
It's rather long, too, Mr. Chair.
It's less than 2 minutes, I promise.
That's okay. We're moving fast today.
I just wanted to let everyone know how honored I am to be named the assistant principal over curriculum at Pine Ridge High School. I've been very fortunate through my career in Volusia County to have amazing mentors that I look up to, that I got to work beside, learn from, and just be shaped by. Two of those mentors that I want to speak of tonight is Carolyn Carbonell and Mike McAuliffe. Carolyn, I want to thank you for believing in me from day one at the job fair 9 years ago when walking me through Atlantic High School, for coaching me, allowing me to grow in this profession by challenging me to always be my best. To Mike McAuliffe, thank you for always having an open door policy as a leader, having honest conversations with me as I sometimes needed them, and teaching me that we have 365 opportunities every year to make it happen. To my husband for always supporting me with love, strength, encouragement, for always supporting my dreams and being my number one cheerleader. In closing, I want to thank Volusia County Schools for always allowing me to grow as an educator, for providing opportunities within our county for training such as the administrative TOA program or programs such as Volusia Leads, which inspires teacher leaders to uplift and inspire other colleagues as well as in our schools but throughout the county, and continuous professional development opportunities to make us stronger together, more well-rounded educators and leaders. Thank you to the board. Thank you to Dr. Fritz, to our chairman, Mr. Colon, and the board. Thank you.
Thank you. And so if you'll join us up here for a picture, that would be awesome. That's always exciting. Next item up on the agenda, 4.01, recognition of our CTE Teachers of the Year. Dr. Fritz.
I got to tell you, one of the most fun events I've had all year was going to the CTE Teacher of the Year dinner that we held at the Berry Country Club not too long ago. I think it was like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. CTE teachers really cut loose after hours. I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun. We had a good time, but the conversation was very rich, and I'm going to tell you, they all were so extremely complimentary of all the other teachers in the programs, and I think why this is so important is because the area of CTE is truly what this board said our strategic plan would be about igniting passions, yeah. And so I'm going to ask Bree Costello to come forward. We do have a very special presentation of a teacher that was honored that evening, and I think we have a few of them here.
Welcome.
Yay,
hello again.
Back.
I know. I can't get enough. So we did. We had an awesome CTE month, which was the month of February. We would like to start our presentation with a short video that our awesome communications department put together as a little recap.
I like how it puts you straight into the field of digital media editing, and they really put a lot on you. So it gives you sort of a sense of what the real world would be like.
It makes me feel secure about how I'm going to leave high school and I can actually get a job right in the hospitals when I leave high school. To learn things here that's going to help me for the future is amazing.
I see the Academy of Law and Government give me a 4-year leg up on any other person going into the same profession as me. So when I learned about all the hands-on experiences that you could gain in law, then I knew it was going to be the right academy.
Academy is very demanding, and it's demanding for a reason, because it's trying to set you up for your future. And if you're looking to go into the medical field isn't easy. It's going to have a lot of difficulties and hardships with it. So this academy is just going to be a stepping stone for you to help.
I really enjoyed meeting people who had the same passion as I did. We got to work together, and we genuinely got the experience to know what it's like to work in a team environment.
Thank you.
Yeah, great.
So like Dr. Fritz said, last month, at the end of the month, we had our CTE Teacher of the Year event and awarded our new winner. So I'd like to take a moment to tell you about our 12 nominees. This year, they are an excellent representation of what amazing CTE programs we offer in our district. From health to culinary to early childhood and aquaculture, our teachers have a combined 152 years of teaching experience. And as many of you know, teaching is often a second career for a lot of our CTE teachers. Among our finalists are a former Big Four accounting firm accountant, a collegiate athletic trainer, and a Navy veteran. So as varied as their experiences in life and education are, the common theme of why they chose this profession was evident in their applications. When asked, why do you teach CTE, responses were, I love having the opportunity to ignite a passion in a student they didn't know was there. It's rewarding to engage students as they build their skills through hands-on learning. And now I get to be the teacher I wish I had. So not all of our finalists are here tonight, but I would like to recognize them by name just the same. So we have Natalie Knutson from Atlantic High School. She's an aquaculture teacher. Tara Gardner, Mainland High School, digital design. Dana Luff, New Smyrna High School, culinary. Nancy Paris, Ormond Beach Middle School, orientation to careers. Kelly Lemon, Seabreeze High School, allied health. Heather Cobb, Spruce Creek High School, finance. Mike Hackley, Silver Sands Middle School, technology education. Tammy Collins, Taylor Middle High School, digital design. And Maureen Mack, who was actually our overall winner at University High School from engineering. She was hoping to be here tonight, but she is a little under the weather, so. Our three nominees, or our three winners from our schools that are here tonight, are Sandy Ryder from DeLand High School. She's an early childhood education teacher. Sandy, you can stand up. Jordan Gowell from Deltona Middle School. She's a culinary teacher. And Matt Malazzo from Deltona High School. He's a promotional design teacher. If we could just take a quick picture, and that's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. If you all will join us up here.
Everybody.
Yeah. All right, next item on the agenda is one that I am personally really excited about, 4.02, which is recognition of the Project Search Program. Dr. Fritz.
Boy, am I excited about this one. I'm going to ask Amanda to come forward, but we got some friends in the audience on this one. Let me share a little bit about this, because this is such an amazing program that we have decided to replicate this in-house in Volusia County. This is for our ESE students between the ages of 18 and 21, and it gives them an internship experience out in our community doing real jobs. and not only doing real jobs, but being hired into those positions. And I see a couple of our friends out there from the corporate world. Once you meet this guy, he's a friend for life. WG, thank you for being here. Just truly amazing at Halifax. And Kim Fulcher, that's also here. Kim, good to see you. Thank you very much for being here. And I don't know if Tori Smith is here. Is Tori here?
She's not here,
okay. And she is our manager over at the food court at Embry-Riddle. But let me say this, and I'm going to turn it over to you, but had the opportunity to spend a day looking at our students, and this is one that understand board that we are doing and investing in, and we should. We have students that are going to go through our own student nutrition services with training. We're always in need of employees. We're going to be working in our custodial departments, our maintenance departments, to replicate this. And John Guthrie is helping organize a event in April where we can do a luncheon and bring other businesses forward to learn about hiring our students. And what's so cool about this, the number one thing that every supervisor out there said to me, these kids are reliable and show up to work every day. Now, which employer wouldn't want that? So I turn it over to you, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Colon, Dr. Fritz, and school board. With me today, I have our coordinator for our transition programs in Volusia County Schools, Kathy Galati. She's going to help me as we go through this presentation. But before we start, we have a very nice video for you to watch.
Cafe, I stock sodas, utensils, sweeping the floors. What this program is like helping interns like myself, like trying to find a job.
In 2016, Volusia County Schools partnered with Halifax Health Medical Center, and we established our first project search. Any student with a disability can attend the program. They defer receipt of their diploma, which means they graduated, they earned their diploma, but they can return to Volusia County Schools for transition and career readiness skills.
I'm able to be with the patients, and I'm able to interact with them, and I'm learning job skills, hard and soft skills. My favorite rotation is the current one I'm in right now, is Brooks Rehab. It's my favorite. I love it.
The second program is our community-based vocational education program at Sedesco on the campus of Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Their students participate in training for future careers in Volusia County. It's hands-on to gain the skills needed for a career. Our students are dedicated employees. They show up to work every day on time, eager to work, and eager to do a great job.
I really enjoy by taking initiative. I love interacting with people. I just love it here.
You may recognize a few of the students that were on that video behind me. And in a little bit, we're going to call them up, and they have a presentation for you. So again, this is about our transition to work programs for our students with disabilities in Volusia County Schools. And as I go through, I think you'll recognize that this touches all five of our goals in our strategic plan. Project Search was developed in 1996 in Cincinnati. Since, it has expanded to international sites. Project Search primary objective is to secure competitive employment for people with disabilities. The Project Search transition to work program takes place entirely at the work site. It's a total workplace immersion where students gain, I should say interns gain, not only classroom instruction, but career exploration, hands-on opportunities, as they rotate through various departments at the worksite. Interns participate in a series of 3 internships while in this program. They gain competitive, marketable, and transferable skills that allow them to maintain competitive employment after they leave Volusia County Schools. In 2016, since we began this program, we have, since 2016, we have grown to 3 Halifax Health sites. The host business has to provide us with a classroom for our students to begin their day with their teacher and an employment advisor. Our student interns do not report to their zone school at all. They gain transportation, either private transportation, or they use Votran Gold to arrive at work on time, very important. And as Dr. Fritz said, every student is always on time. It's one of the perks. That a lot of times they're early. Jalen often gets there very early. You saw him on the video. He loves his job, if you couldn't tell from the video. We do follow the school calendar. Halifax provides each student or each intern a voucher for lunch, so they're able to eat there on site. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a 1 hour of classroom instruction with their teacher and their employment advisor before they head out into the work site, where they go through a series of 3 9-week-long rotations. They work side by side with a Halifax Health employee, as well as having that employment advisor right there with them. And as you can see here, again, there's Jalen, loving his job. Dr. Fritz got to meet him, he and Dr. Balgobin, when we went out. Since the inception in 2016, we have gained 90 jobs for our students with disabilities after going through Project CERT. I went a little too fast. I wanted you to notice one of the students here all the way to the far right. During Project Search, she obtained her phlebotomist certification.
Wow.
Amazing. Amazing work that happens. I don't know. Since I forgot to do that, I want to zoom past it. Uh-oh. How did it end? Oh, no. I apologize. Here we go. Okay. We also want to recognize a program that students have the opportunity after they defer their diploma. You have several opportunities, things that you can choose from during your IEP meeting. Project Search is just one of those opportunities. Some students may not be ready to head to Halifax and start those intense internships. So we have a step before that, and it is our community-based vocational education program that is run through SEDESCO at Emory-Riddle Aeronautical. At Emory-Riddle, our students are exposed to various job skills. They gain skills in communication, how to work on a team, how to be a member of a group to gain a certain goal that they have. They obviously work on self-advocacy skills. They also learn to make decisions on their own. They don't always have to go to a supervisor. And they even work on their resumes and add the job skills that they've gained through this opportunity. Now, these students do report to school. They go to their home school first, and they receive, each student is different through their IEP. They do different things in the morning, but then as a group, they travel on the school bus to Emory-Riddle, where they have their employment advisors, paraprofessionals, oftentimes teachers with them as well. We have 6 high schools that are participating right now in SEDESCO. Obviously, we're pushing to make that all of our high schools. But it's an ebb and flow. Sometimes you have students that are ready to go into CBVE. Sometimes they're ready to go to Project Search. So right now we do have 6 high schools. And already this year, this school year, we've employed 7 students at SEDESCO just after doing their internship since August this school year. So that's also very exciting. 7 kids in just a few months. So at SEDESCO, our students rotate through various sites. They could be dishwashers. They could be a dietary aide. Starbucks is on campus there, as well as Chick-fil-A and Qdoba. It's a Mexican restaurant. We actually saw students of ours working at each of those restaurants. We have a student at the Starbucks who is a barista. I don't know about you, but I can't keep a frappuccino straight from a latte. So I have no idea, but she loves it, does a great job, and actually has gained a paid employment there. As I mentioned earlier, Dr. Fritz and Dr. Balgobin were able to go out and witness firsthand the skills and the self-confidence that our students gain by being in this program. Even though they go to school first, they are still, you know, our students in the morning, but when they get there, they are employees of Sodesco. I hope she can make it here so that we can introduce her. Emory Riddle loves the students that are out there. They want every student possible to come out and to learn through their program. Now, before we recognize these adults that we're bragging on, we have some of our interns here. And so I'm going to let Ms. Galati introduce them one at a time, and they're going to come up and share with you their experiences.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm always so proud when I get to highlight these programs and our wonderful interns. They are amazing. I cannot say enough wonderful things about them. But the first intern was an intern at our Project Search at Deltona site. She graduated 2021 from the program. So first up, I would like to bring up Taylor Mack. And along with her, I'd like to bring up Karen Hook, the instructor at the program, and Amber Lieber, the employment advisor.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Taylor Mack. I am speaking on behalf of people at Project Search. Project Search is a great place that is there for you to make sure that you find a job and be successful in life. Project Search helped me find a job that I felt comfortable with and loved, which is a good thing to have and be part of adulthood. Project Search is a great experience that I had and loved. It was helpful, trusting, and understanding. The job coaches and teachers and doctors and nurses, even security guards, are all great people that guided me to help me find a job that I still have to this day. Ms. Karen and Ms. Amber were great job coaches for me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be the person that I am today, and I wouldn't have found a job if not for them. So thank you. Ms. Karen and Ms. Amber were teaching me important things that I needed to know, like tips for a job interview, what to do and what not to do when you have a job interview. Sometimes having or finding a job can be rough, but hey, it's okay if the job you applied for went with another candidate for the job. Apply for another and another until you find one you love. If at first you don't succeed, try again. My experience and time at Project Search really was a great time for me, especially for some people with disabilities and those on the spectrum can even get jobs too. And for me, I never let my disability get the best of me. Because it's been a part of who I am, we have the ability and capability to make a difference, all because of the great people that helped me work my way to the top to help and find me a great, hardworking job.
Thank you, Taylor. We have a certificate. Taylor, we have a certificate for you.
Let's do a picture if we could. And if her team could come up for the picture, that'd be great.
You want to do that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right, it's not over. We have a few more. Ms. Galati.
Dr. Nair,
our next
not,
intern that I would
crying.
Like to
you
introduce
are.
Is Charisse Davis. She was a former Mainland High School student. She is a current intern of Project Search at Halifax Medical Center at Daytona. Yeah. With her is Patty Snyder, the instructor for the program.
You on the video.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Charisse Davis. I graduated from Mainland High School in 2021. I'm currently interning at Halifax in Daytona, where I'm learning job skills, wonderful, great job skills. That's going to take me a long way, and I'm grateful that I'm here and found my way here, because without this, I would be home without a job. And I just thankful for this, and I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about my rotations I have completed. I completed the cafe. I was responsible for the utensils, making sure the dining room was okay. And my second rotation that I completed was the Brooks Rehab, making sure that all the items were sanitized well for the next patient to use after the patient have used them. As well, going around into the patient's room and stocking their gloves and sani cloths. As well, going around with the activity card, seeing what they would like while they're there. And that was a pleasure because I'm interacting with the patients and everything. And what I also want to talk about is I'm going into patient transport for my third rotation, and I think I will enjoy it really much because I'm helping people get to their destination, and that's all about people, helping people comes first, you know, and it's, they basically depend on us, you know, to get to their destination and everything. So, you know, I'm glad to be a part of this community, you know, this company, and expand my opportunities and learn all the opportunities as well. And I learned so much here. I really did important job skills to help me get a job, and that's it.
Our final intern that I would like to introduce is a former New Smyrna Beach High School graduate. He is Seabreeze, sorry. He is currently at the Halifax site at Port Orange, Kobe Euler. And with him we have Kristen Bennett, the instructor for the program.
Visuals.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Good job.
He did want it.
You ready? You want to stand?
You want to sit? You want to sit?
You can bring that chair up.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Hello, everybody. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. Hello, I am Kami Ila. I am 18 years old. I graduated from Sirius High in 2021. Now I am excited about being a projector intern at Halifax Hospital at Port Orange. This is me working. When I was coming back, that's me working from the store. That's me. This is me working, and here's is my favorite part. Here I am taking out the dining room trash. I'm also stuck soda, cola, comments, and chips. And here's me working on dietary. And I work in there for my rotation is better for me. I take it in a trash can. That's me. This is me cleaning the tables. I also clean the chairs and booths. I keep it all extra clean. And here's me cleaning the tables. I do the drinks. I do the chairs. And I'm doing a booth, and this is me working. I like everybody I work with. Teamwork is happening together. We get the job done. This is me, Monique, and Annette. They are fun to work with. And here's me with them, helping them together. That's what I work with. Here I am pushing the patient food tray cart. I take it to the dish room and scrap all the trays. This prepares them for cleaning. And there's me working, pushing the trays when they're cleaning. This is me. This is me cleaning the cart. I love my job. And here's me cleaning the cart. When I'm done, the other work rotation I had was sales clerk at Halifax Thrift Store. I swept, clean windows, put stock out, and help customers. I work hard and learn to help people. Project search is awesome, and here's me cleaning the windows. The window sales are every part of my job. Last one. In class, I learn common interview questions, job skills, and time management. We learn soft skills like work communication, body language, and eye contact. Sometimes we play games. It is fun learning. And here's me working on the papers. Any questions?
Thank you.
Of course, none of this would be possible without our partners, right? And so we have them with us, and we want to recognize them. We have a certificate for them as well. I'm going to let Ms. Galati introduce our guests.
Tonight, Jeff Fiesel, the CEO of Halifax Hospital, could not attend, but again, without him, this program would have never existed, so I'd like to recognize him. Next, we have Kim Fulcher. She is the Executive Director and Chief Human Resource Officer for Halifax Hospital Medical Center. Kim, please stand. And, of course, we have W.G. Watts, who is the Manager for the Volunteer Services Coordinator. So, W.G.
Good afternoon. I'd just like to say thank you to the Volusia County School Board for allowing Project Search and Dr. Fritz at Halifax Hospital, Halifax Health, actually. I've been in human resources for 29 years and done a lot of things with team members over the years, but this is probably one of the most inspirational things that we've ever done, and they are wonderful, and we so treasure them and their internship at Halifax Health. So thank you so much for allowing us, all the instructors, and of course the students. We're so proud of all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we also have to recognize Tori Smith. I'm sure she got stuck in the bike week traffic and couldn't get here. But Tori Smith is the manager for Sodesco at Emory-Riddle, an outstanding business community member. So we have to recognize her. Thank you.
Yay. And as Dr. Fritz alluded to, we do have a Volusia search coming soon. We've actually started those IEP meetings, and we are helping students begin internships immediately. We're starting, I believe it's some started this week. We have a big group starting when we get back from spring break, so we will be in the Schoolway Cafe, we will be in the custodial department, and we are already working with facilities and maintenance. So I look forward to having pictures and students to present to you after we get that up and running. Any questions about our programs?
So for those of you who can't see all the eyes in the room, I can tell you there's not a dry eye. There may be one dry eye in the whole room. We're very proud of our students, and I want to say thank you to Halifax Health and Mr. Jeff Fiesel for supporting this program. It's amazing. It's why we're here, every one of us.
Yep.
And they're all high school graduates moving on to career-ready positions. That's wonderful.
And it is available to every student with a disability. So we're not talking, you know, those exceptionalities that you may think about that defer their diploma. Any student with a disability can defer their diploma and come back. We're having real conversations with our administration to make sure we're offering this to more and more students, even those mild students who do not have a plan for after graduation. If we know we have those students who I don't think they're going to go to college, we're not sure what, have a conversation with that student, their parent, they can defer their diploma, and we can, after a successful internship, either Project Search or at Sodesco or at Volusia County Schools, we can get them employed. So we're really hoping that our parents are listening and will defer those diplomas, come back, and we can give them those skills that they need to be employed.
Ms. Burnett.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As an employee at Halifax, I'm very happy to see all these people here. And I can tell you firsthand what a benefit all the employees at Project Search have been at Halifax, and I see them working hard every day. So thank you all. Thank you. You really do help us out. Thank you. And make patients' days better.
Mr. Persis.
Well said, Ms. Burnett. I didn't know whether, Kim, whether you wanted to say anything about this young man sitting right up here. He is like
WG.
Man, and he is there all the time doing everything.
All right. Ms. Haynes, I'm coming to you. I saw you tearing up, too.
I didn't want to cry.
this is probably one of the very best things that we could ever do, because it makes sure that we're meeting the needs of every single student, because every student in Volusia County deserves the very best education so that they can find the path that they want to follow and be happy. And all three of you here tonight that came up and spoke and shared your story, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because we are so proud of you, and you're doing a wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Fritz, anything you want to say?
Just, I'm very proud of not only our young people and what they're doing. I look forward to their futures. I'm proud of the partnerships. Hopefully we can expand that. There certainly is a need. As I met with Kathy and the team 3 years ago, this was our plan. And so I want to thank all of you for being committed to making this happen. You are there every day. Some of the most dedicated educators we got. So I appreciate you.
Very good. Thank you. All right. We'll move on to... Move on to the consent agenda item 6.01. Superintendent, are there any items that you'd like removed or any amendments to the consent agenda?
No, sir.
Board members, are there any items that you all would like to remove for further discussion?
I have a question about one item, but if you want to remove it for discussion, it's fine.
You can ask a question. That's fine. Anybody else have any? Nope. So just one. Go ahead, Ms. Haynes. Which is the one that you have a question about?
It's actually item 8.01, the one about the training that we're going to be doing for middle school. So Ms. Kaur is headed this way. So... You know that I'm very, very pleased about middle school. We have to do something at middle school. And I've been out telling parents what we're going to be doing, which I think is helping to calm some of them. But when we had our one-on-one and you shared this with me, the biggest thing about this was that we're bringing it to Volusia County so that we don't have to send teachers away. So since then, I've heard that we are sending some groups away. So I apologize that I hadn't been able to get with you. But do we have teachers that are leaving the state for this training also?
Not for this training. It's the leadership training piece that's not coming with this nuts and bolts training. The nuts and bolts training is for classroom teachers. We have one school that's using title money to send, I think, a group, maybe 15, including administrators and the lead teachers, and they're going to the leadership strand, which is when you go to the conference in Oklahoma with Jack and his team, it runs 2 days before the nuts and bolts symposium. So it's a separate conference, built specifically for the leadership part of how to lead the team. That's not part of the normal nuts and bolts.
Okay. So
but that's the only school that I know, Southwestern, that's going.
Okay. I didn't say which one.
But oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So would the other 13 middle schools not need the leadership training?
It's not that they wouldn't need it. I was going to try to go as well, and we were going to bring it back, so kind of like a train-the-trainer model. So I know Jaquise is going, and I was going to try to go as well, but I haven't been able to vet that yet, so that we can at least bring that information back to the rest of the schools and the rest of the principals.
Is there a way to bring that training here for the – because if we've only got one school going out for it and it's a component that goes along with this, is there a way to bring that here so that the other 13 schools have that opportunity?
Yeah, I can inquire. It would be two additional days beyond the two that are already there.
Okay.
So I can inquire to see.
That was just my question,
right?
Because – I thought this was the whole encompassing
right.
piece, and I had asked you even in our one-on-one, were we going to be able to get everyone trained? And
right.
It depends on whether or not teachers sign up.
Right.
And then I heard that there were teachers going out of state,
right.
And so that's why I just had some confusion.
Yes. Yeah, and it is same company but different training.
Okay,
different training.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions, thoughts, feelings, or concerns? All right, hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, consent agenda, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Public participation. Ask for cards.
Do we have any public comment regarding any items on the consent agenda? Thank you. Mr. Scott Cleary, please come forth. You have 3 minutes to address the board. Thank you. And welcome once again.
Good evening, Chairman Colon, board members. I'm reading a letter to you tonight on 8.01. I'm sorry I couldn't be present to make my own remarks, but I'm grateful to Mr. Cleary for reading them. Mr. Colon, I am certain you're going to give this your full attention, as you do all speakers since your first meeting. The $98,000 conference on the consent agenda is disturbing, but not unsurprising for an administration that tossed out ESE from Brewster, refurbished the offices for imported senior staff at a still undisclosed cost, something that has been asked about at a board meeting and not followed up on. Colorado consultant Jack Beckenmeyer, who taught less than 10 years, is being contracted to lead a conference in June. It will be outside the teacher's contract, so they must be paid salary if it's mandatory, which comes to about $250,000 if all attendees are teachers. If it's voluntary, it will be about $100,000 in stipends. The deliverables for the $98,000 are nationally renowned middle school expert consultants will present middle school educators to help improve middle school socially and academically with a focus on teaming. They will cover topics such as the adolescent mind, teaming strategies, engagement strategies, and collaborative structures in the middle school classrooms. That's it. That's the deliverable quote from the contract. As a former middle school program administrator for Volusia County, I can tell you that you have salaried middle school experts on staff who would cost nothing extra to educate teachers, and their own educations are more current than his. You also have cost-free direct service trainers such as professors from UCF through CARD and wonderful local experts at Stetson, BCU, and DSC who would work at a fraction of the cost of this gentleman with a master's from Colorado who hasn't taught in a middle school in decades. Having him teach Volusia teachers is like having someone who moved here to get rich through overdevelopment speak as if they represent local parents, students, and educators. It's transparent, pathetic, and alarmingly out of touch. Professional development doesn't need to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Elizabeth Alberts tried to be part of this conversation and has not been permitted. That should tell you a lot. I'm pleased at the last meeting, Mr. Colon and Mrs. Burnett said that they needed to know more, and three of you held fast against an aggressive push to rush into a contract with big holes, as Ms. Haynes pointed out. Dig into some of these things being buried in the agendas. Thank you. Signed, Kate Kaminsky.
Thank you. All right, do we have any more cards? All right, seeing none, we have a motion that was probably made by Mr. Persis, seconded by Mrs. Cuthbert, correct? All right, no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. All right. Consent agenda is approved. Superintendent's announcements.
On March 10th of this week, we have the All County Orchestra Showcase at University High School. On Friday, March 11th, it is a Teacher Duty Day student holiday. Spring break begins Monday, March 14th. Classes will resume March 21st. Our next school board meeting will be March 22nd. Our next board workshop at 4th, I'm sorry, I got those reversed. School board meeting will be March 22nd at 7 p.m. The workshop will be March 22nd at 4:30 p.m. School Library and Media Month is April 2022. Child Abuse Prevention Month is April 2022. School Volunteer Appreciation Month is April 2022. National Assistant Principals Week is April 4th through the 8th. And Paraprofessional Appreciation Day is April 6th. And at this time, Board, I'd like to ask Mr. Persis to step up here, please.
You know, we give out service pens for employees that have been in the district for 30 years. But seldom do you have them that make it 40 years.
Mr. Persis, I'd like to give you a service pen for 40 years of service to Volusia County students.
Wait, I got to show my certificate.
Come on, everybody. 40 years.
40 years.
That's all I have, Chair.
All right. So, Board, we have 20 minutes between now and public comment.
We're going to go right to the Board action item.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. Next item on the agenda is going to be 17.01, Board Action Item, Approval of the Salary Schedule for 2021-2022. Ms. Schultz, do we have any cards for this item? No, Kelly. All right. All right, Dr. Fritz.
All right. I'm going to ask Mr. West. Board members, as you know, we workshopped this item earlier today. Mr. West is coming forward with some recommendations for board action.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Fritz, Mr. Colon, board members. Thank you for giving the opportunity to bring before you our proposal for the salary increase for non-bargaining professional technical school-based and district administrators. What we have done is we put together for you a proposed salary schedule, and I know that you haven't had a whole lot of time to look at these, but we discussed them quite a bit. It's, in essence, it is a 5% increase for levels 1, 2, and 3 and our technical non-bargaining employees. It's a level 3% increase for levels 4 through 8 and a 2% increase for all administrators, level 9 and above, and site-based administrators. In addition to that, we have included a proposal for a retention bonus of $500 for any employees in non-bargaining that have 5 years or more in Volusia County Schools.
Thank you, Board. You've heard the recommendation. We'll start with Mr. Persis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to be clear, when you said levels 1, 2, 3, 5% raise, that does include $11 per hour for whichever employee was not at $11 per hour.
Correct.
Before that.
Exactly. And what you'll notice, I think, on the actual sheet that you have there, if you'll take a look under the technical salary schedule, those are the group of employees that we had. Two groups of employees that were below that. It was our deaf interpreters, and it was also our EDEP employees. And you'll notice that we raised our deaf interpreters up to $11 an hour and our EDEP employees to $12 an hour.
Okay.
And you're everyone else, that 5% increase.
And you're going to increase the hours of the EDP?
And our EDE employees, we have also talked about increasing their hours from a minimum of 2 hours to 3 hours.
To at least 3 hours.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to go along with this for right now, but I did like the recommendation. I think that we all were kind of leaning toward during the workshop that we have some sort of a study, and maybe that could be brought back to us in our April workshop in terms of maybe the superintendent could provide some options for that type of study, like what you could do internally or what could be done with a consultant, just give you time to look and see how that could be done. to give us just more information, because I do like what you said. I think we need I think you said 5 year, but I'd like to make it almost 3 year if we could. But somewhere 3 to 5 years so we can get to where we need to be.
Thank you, Mr. Persis. I don't see anybody else on the queue. I do have a comment.
Go ahead.
You know, a lot of times we find ourselves in this position because of timing, and failure to make a decision would just prolong this. And it's unfortunate that we couldn't do better right now, given the circumstances. But I'm proud of the fact that after 3 years of being here, we finally got to the conversation of saying we have to develop a plan. And so I'm grateful for all the head nods that we had in order to get that work started. And I think it not only involves our non-bargaining, but it's everybody. It's everybody. Where is everybody at? Where should they be? Because what you're going to find is, like I said, we found this in my organization, what you're going to find is the people who were there the longest, who have done a lot of the work, are the ones that are lowest compensated. And I don't think that's the intent or desire of the board. I am grateful with that. This is perfect by no means. It is very hard to dissect each of this. As I said, this is, you know, what was submitted to us is very confusing, no fault of you, because, you know, we're dealing with layers and layers of many, many years of folks who have been here, and some people started after, before, some people started higher, started lower. And I think that taking a look at every individual, not levels, not class, looking at every individual and see if we are marketably competitive is going to be key. And I can tell you it's going to take a lot of difficult decision-making, whether I'm here or I'm not. Doesn't make a difference to me, in the sense that we have to do right by employees. And this is a three-year, I'll share with you all, like I did. You know, in my organization, we spent a year almost without spending.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't say, you know, we're ordering from Office Depot, tell us what kind of coffee you wanted, because we realized that it was those expenditures, it was, you know, keeping a lot of inventory and stock that maybe we didn't need, purchasing things that, because we knew we were going to have to spend on bringing these salaries up, so we planned on it. So I'm excited that we're having this conversation now. It's something that's been in my heart for many years. It's just the timing has to be right. And I am supportive of this. However, I don't think it's perfect by any means. And I look forward to working with Dr. Fritz and Mr. West and Ms. Hazel as we start to unpack what this means. Because I don't know if this has ever been done, but I think it's time to... It's time. So, thank you. With that being said, did we have a motion?
Well, I can make one if you'd like.
I will entertain a motion.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, make sure I'm saying this correctly, Mr. West. So, I move that we give our non-bargaining employees the following raise amounts. Level 1, 2, and 3 would get 5% raise. Inclusive of no employee making less than $11 per hour. At levels 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 get a 3% raise, and then levels 9 and above a 2% raise, and that all employees who have worked with the Volusia County School District for 5 years, 5 years or more,
right.
I guess, would get a one-time $500 stipend.
Retention bonus. Yes.
Okay. Retention bonus.
Motion's been made by Mr. Persis. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion's been made by Mr. Persis, seconded by Ms. Burnett. Ms. Haynes, any questions, thoughts, feelings, or concerns?
May I, sir?
Sure, Ms. Cuthbert.
I want to thank you and the, our Treasury Department.
Yeah, they're printing the money as we speak.
That's good.
I had to say that because it is a treasure because it's so well guarded. Mm-hmm. But thank you for bringing all these non-bargaining figures before us. I think what Mr. Colon was trying to say is we don't want them to be an afterthought.
That's right.
That, you know, as we work with you on both unions, we also want to work with them too. At the same time, keep things going as we develop it. And I know you don't do that, but it's we just don't want the appearance to the public for that. But thank you for all this hard work. And I while you were talking about refiguring and going back, and you were talking about all the different positions that had different job experience and degrees, and that everybody has a different, you know, I can't even begin to even think about the computer program that has to program all of this. Mm-hmm. Every individual has a different computation. So kudos to all of our analysts and those people who actually do all that work. So thank you. And I do have one question. When would this take effect?
Okay, so we will actually make it retro to July 1 and then work from there. So I'm not going to make my folks work over spring break because I'm just that kind of a nice guy. But it will be after spring break that we'll look to put that into effect and then move forward. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That'd be great. Thank you, Mr. West and his team.
So I have just a clarifying question because the devil's in the details.
Yes, sir.
What is 5 years or more defined as?
We discussed this a little bit, and what we're going to do effective once the vote is taken, effective tonight, so effective this date, anyone who has actually 5 years or more experience, effective March the 8th. So we will go back and we will track all those records and make sure that anybody who has 5 years of experience up to March the 8th, 2022, will receive that retention bonus.
So 4 years and three, I just want to be clear because we know we've run into this before.
Right.
Is it 60 months? Is it 5 years?
No, it is 5 years from the date that they started. If they started March the 8th, 2017, then they're in. Continuous service.
Go back up 5 years.
Correct.
And take that frozen file. And anybody employed back then and still employed today?
So anybody employed as of March 8th, 2017, and forward will receive the $500 bonus.
Continuous service.
Continuous
correct.
Service.
It's a permanent employee, yes.
What defines non-continuous service?
We have that definition very clearly written down.
You do?
Well,
okay,
we
perfect.
Do, and we will,
all right.
We will make sure we follow that. Thank you.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes.
Thank you all.
Phew.
Hey, that's good news.
We will have a 9-minute break, and we will take up public comment at 6 p.m. Thank you. Thank you all once again for your patience. Next up, we have public comment. Everyone will have 3 minutes to address the board. I will kindly thank you when your 3 minutes are up. First up, we have Ms. Sheila Butchart.
Butchart. Butchart.
Oh, that's an R. Okay. Welcome.
Miss B.
Miss B.
All right.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Sheila Butchart. I'm the VIEW Executive Vice President for Membership. I'm reading tonight on behalf of our president, Elizabeth Albert, who's currently in Tallahassee advocating for our members, our students, and our public schools. Chairman Colon, members of the board, Dr. Fritz, and members of the audience. I'd like to begin by sharing some information that is relevant to the expectations of the public on the way business is conducted in these chambers. At the last board meeting, an agenda item was advertised to the public as a for discussion. However, as the discussion progressed, a member of the board, with the blessing of the school board attorney, quickly moved to change this discussion to a board action item. I would like to remind you that according to Volusia County School Policy 102, school board agendas, after the agenda has been made available, change shall be made for only a good cause, as determined by the chairman or the vice chair in the chairman's absence, and as stated in the record. Notification of such change shall be made at the earliest practical time. I'd like to thank the chair and other members of the board who adhered to that school board policy and declined to vote, although there was significant pressure to do so. Additionally, I'd like to remind you that the employees of the district are watching. They are listening to your comments and realizing there is a vast disconnect between the expectations that are placed on them compared to the practices and standards that are applied to others. When this takes place, it does not bring us together. It causes us to create a divide and continues the erosion of trust. There are more than 4,000 teachers and over 11,000 support staff who have counted on you to hear their voice. They are counting on you to stand up for them and acknowledge that Volusia County is in crisis. They're counting on you to stand up for them, to take action, to fix those problems that are driving the teachers and staff out of Volusia County schools. They're counting on you to stand up for the students in our classrooms who are falling further behind every time a teacher leaves or a paraprofessional vacancy goes unfilled. They're counting on you to stand up for all educational professionals and take deliberate and intentional steps to ensure that the culture of Volusia County schools becomes an environment of respect and collaboration instead of the current volatile, uncertain, ambiguous state that we're living in. Educational professionals are leaving Volusia County schools at astonishing rate. They're leaving because they're not empowered to make decisions that improve the teaching and working conditions that lead to improved student achievement. It is your responsibility to hear their voice and ensure that the needs of those working in our district, in our schools, in our classrooms become the priority, because in the end, it's the integrity. Integrity is choosing courage over comfort. Be strong and courageous as we are counting on you.
Thank you, Mrs. Bean. Next up, Ms. Kim Short. Welcome, Mrs. Short.
Welcome, Chairman Colon, board members, Dr. Fritz. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I did want to add it to the conversation about the non-bargaining units. There is something called a human capital audit, and it is a process that a lot of companies go through. They take and look at the policies and processes that might require attention, and they can help with something like finding, you know, what the market salary is for different level positions. You can also task them with looking at maybe our entire cabinet and seeing if all of those positions really are cost effective. And you'd be surprised at some of the things that you'll find out that you can cut so that you can fund other things. So I think that would be my suggestion to start with that entire five-year plan, three-year plan, whatever you guys decided up here that I do think is a good thing. The real thing that I wanted to come tonight to discuss is Seabreeze High School. So I did send the principal of Seabreeze High School an email back on February 11th regarding a school-based decision that was made. It's recently come to my attention that I know that the quarter is closing in 2 days, but the parents of that entire junior class have never been notified that their children lost their teacher. I do believe that school-based decisions are important, and because all schools are different and situations create different needs. I'm concerned because, although I do think that's important, that testing and the pressure that it puts on our school leadership, sometimes they make decisions that aren't in the best interest of all children, but are in the interest of maybe one group of children. I think that in this case, when you take a teacher away from an entire group of children in the 11th grade and give them to the children in the 9th grade, whether it be the case or not, with 10th grade ELA scores being something that we all know you have to pass in order to graduate, it looks like that. I think that none of how this was handled was really in keeping with our strategic plan. I think the communication piece of it is probably still my biggest problem. And as board members, you have the responsibility to all children and making sure that they all get a quality education. And so for those kids right now who are probably not doing very well, and I know one who is not doing very well, and maybe all those parents who maybe they're not even aware of what's going on and why their kids aren't doing well, they deserve that communication. And I think that some kind of a policy needs to get, you know, be looked at so that that doesn't happen again and so we can protect them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Short. Next up, Commissioner Dana McCool.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fritz, Board, I'm here to speak to you today and to tell you that when I was 14 years old, which was 44 years ago, I was beaten on a regular basis and sexually abused by my stepfather repeatedly for a number of years. I went in confidence to tell a teacher about this. This teacher, in turn, went and told my parents what I had told them, and in turn, what I got was more beatings and more abuse. You know the story, you know the cycle, you know how it goes as educators. So I'm here to talk to you about HB 1557 today. A lot of people are calling it the Don't Say Gay Bill, but I'm telling you it's the Don't Say Bill. When we are stripping teachers of the ability to take into a child's confidence and protect a child, we're putting politics over people, and I find it shameful. I'm encouraging our educators to please protect these children. Use your best judgment, and I'm asking our legislators to quit legislating protection for our children. There are four pages of a Bill of Rights, HB 1557, that talks about the rights of parents, but in nowhere does it talk about the rights of the child. So I am here to encourage you. When you hear something, take that child into confidence. What happens to these kids, if they do not feel like they have someone that they can trust, these children turn to self-abuse, they turn to alcoholism, they turn to drugs, they turn to promiscuity, they are lost. When they feel like that anything that they tell their teacher, the people that they spend the quality amount of time with, when they feel like when they tell their teacher this and the teacher's going to have to go back and tell the very people that are abusing them, it's a sad, sad day that we're legislating the privacy out of these children feeling protected. So I'm begging you, educators, to remember this when these children, these high schoolers, they have to come and tell you what is going on, no matter what it is. Do not put legislation over the lives of these children. I want to thank who are now deceased, Ms. Carolyn Stonehouse and Karen McCarran, who are counselors at the school that took me into their confidence and helped me navigate through that difficult time. And guys, I'm telling you right now, we cannot do this to our kids. I understand what the loss is, but there is also a moral law here at issue. Listen to these kids. Respect their privacy and as much as you can. And do not let these kids down. This is going to be a hard thing for you guys to navigate your way through. So I just ask you teachers and you counselors to remember that when you're dealing with these kids, not politics over privacy. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner McCool. Next up, Heather McLean.
Good evening, Chairman Colon, board members, and Superintendent Fritz. My name is Heather McLean, and I'm proud to serve the DeLand LGBTQ community as public information officer for the nonprofit organization DeLand Pride. My wife and I are also parents of a five-year-old. Our organization is concerned about what kind of effects the proposed Parents' Rights in Education bill could have on the vulnerable population of the LGBTQ students in our schools. This bill proposes to ban discussion of sexuality in grades K through 3 and could require schools to notify parents if their child of any age identifies as LGBTQ. First, the idea that the district encourages teaching of LGBTQ issues in K to 3 in the first place is ludicrous, especially when the school board itself, who are supposed to represent all people in this community, couldn't even agree on a toothless recognition of LGBTQ mental health awareness, a recognition that required no curriculum, no activities, and no class announcements. Recently, there have been comments attacking the county's LGBTQ support guide, which has since been removed online. The support guide itself stated in response to a parent question, aren't our children too young to begin discussion of LGBTQ issues?
quote, "By addressing LGBTQ issues in school, we are not talking about sex with your children. We are talking about family, identity, and respect for others. Our obligation as educators is to confront stereotypes and address inappropriate language to make schools safe and accessible for all students and families. These discussions are not about sex or sexual activity or body parts, but are about respect for differences." When a student calls another gay as a derogatory term in class, what can a teacher do? Will this be a teaching moment about respecting differences, or will teachers be silenced while students are bullied? When a student says they have gay parents and others have questions, what do you think will happen? Second, all the talk about parents' rights ignores the constitutionally protected rights of these children of free speech and to be taught in a safe environment. LGBTQ youth exist in our schools, whether they're acknowledged or not, and are especially vulnerable. We know that LGBTQ students are much more likely to experience bullying, harassment, assault, and to commit self-harm and suicide. We know that Volusia County students experience this at a higher rate than nationally, even, according to a 2017 district survey. And not all parents are accepting of their children. Studies have shown over and over that parental rejection of LGBTQ kids is closely tied with youth homelessness as well as suicide rates. These children will lose protections that are already in place if educators are required to notify parents when children confide in them or when children wish to share their identities with their peers. We must continue to support the freedom and rights of our students, including their right to be taught in a safe environment. The freedom and rights of parents have been discussed at length in the last 2 years, but those should not come at the expense of the freedom and rights of any of the students in this district. We ask that the board supports the LGBTQ support guide's continued existence, regardless of the outcome of the current bills moving through Tallahassee. And we ask that the board supports LGBTQ students and their families, regardless of whether people would rather we didn't exist at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Mr. John Navarro. Welcome, Mr. Navarro.
Thank you. Good evening. I am a 23-year veteran teacher at Volusia County Schools, and I need your help. The bus drivers need your help. The cafeteria workers need your help. The paraprofessionals need your help. What happens is we have tried to contact our state representatives, as Ms. Cuthbert has mentioned and many of you have mentioned, and it is very difficult. It is a struggle. We work during the time that the session is going on, and the session ends, of course, Friday, and our first day off is Monday, and I don't like to leave work. I just hate to do that. I had 3 years of perfect attendance. To my first full year, my second full year, I had perfect attendance. The year before, my daughter was born, and I missed 2 days. So I'm a dedicated teacher. So the session happens while we're at school, and we're not able to speak to the legislature. And I have been struggling to be able to speak to the state legislators. What I'm proposing is that it would not violate the Sunshine Laws if we were able to get a team together of veteran teachers or veteran teacher, bus drivers, cafeteria workers, and a school board member, and try to speak to the state legislators on our need for higher pay. I think that might be very effective, would not violate the Sunshine Laws. And I have gone to Tallahassee and 10 years ago, and I did take off a couple of days from school for that event. I teach American government, was a learning experience. And the reactions I got in Tallahassee were kind of odd. I said, well, we need more money. This was before the staffing shortages, about 10 years ago. And we need more money for Volusia County Schools. And the legislators told me, well, we give you plenty of money, and your school boards squander it. And it's like, really? And so that's the reaction we get. So those are the reactions we're getting. And when we come, you know, before the school board, we hear, you know, get more money from Tallahassee. And we're trying. The Volusia United Educators, through them, I am able to speak with the legislators. But as an individual person, it is difficult. Maybe you have the gravitas. Maybe you have the mojo. Maybe you have the secret password to get through. But we're trying. And I think if we have bus drivers, cafeteria workers, paraprofessionals, veteran teachers, we can speak to the state legislators and at least get our voice out there, because we are struggling to get our voice out there, and we may not be their priority. and have seen the staffing shortages, and I've lived through them for the last few years. It used to not be that way.
Thank you, Mr. Navarro. Next up, Dr. Jerry Pikett. Welcome, Dr. Pikett.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Board Chairman, members of the board, community groups, business partners, superintendent of schools. As educators and leaders, it is our role to ensure that all kids far and near would benefit from the rewards of a quality education, along with the fair opportunity to reach their fullest potential. But as leaders, it is our civic duty to mandate a fair and equal path for everyone. I ask the superintendent once again to give these questions, concerns, and comments close consideration. In celebrating VCS' most recent graduation rates, are we celebrating our ability to utilize course retrieval over quality instruction from a teacher? Additionally, are students really more prepared right now than ever before? Instructional positions. What is your actual plan, Superintendent? National search, early college recruiting, relocating package for new teachers, multiple job fairs with starting salaries for focused teachers only? Exactly what is the plan? Continuing on, we absolutely need pay increases for our bus drivers, paraprofessionals, cafeteria workers, frontline workers right away. We need to make this a priority. I'm also asking the board to review the salaries of the superintendent's top appointments and compare those salaries to the previous position holders. If we can appoint positions at the highest level, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 plus more than the previous holder, why are we not able to provide a groundbreaking increase for our bus drivers, paraprofessionals, and frontline workers? What are your plans to provide incentives to our focus school leaders, staff, and faculty for turning around struggling schools? Continuing on, what changes will be made to ensure VCS personnel and hiring practices do not discriminate against the rights of individuals competing for available positions at all levels? As an advocate for my sons that look exactly like me, where is the African-American male leadership on your cabinet to facilitate initiatives to increase the overall success of these individuals? Hashtag fire Dr. Fritz. How dare you call any parent a bad parent? That comment is more disrespectful than opinionated. Let's go on to the VCS strategic plan. Who actually wrote the plan? What was the cost of the plan? And finally, what was your pay bonus for the plan? In summation, Superintendent, we're just asking you to do right for everyone. We do not want or need handouts. Just do what is fair for all the people, and everyone will compete for the opportunities that are available. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pikett. And last but not least, Mr. Scott Cleary.
Hello again, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome.
And this is me this time, unscripted and surprising.
You look like you. So
thanks. Good evening, board members, superintendent, Mr. Doran. I was reflecting on something. I didn't really know what I was going to say tonight, but I'm looking around, and the first time I spoke in front of this board, the only person sitting here was Mr. Doran. And over the years, I've encouraged the board to do things or not to do things, and sometimes very vigorously. But at the end of the day, be it Dr. Smith or Tom Russell, who was always Tom, at the end of the meeting, it was, how are you? How are the kids? How's your school? That was leadership. And there was a sense of consensus that happened in years past. I don't see that anymore. All I see is acrimony, and a lot of it, particularly in the last year and a half, 2 years. We need to move beyond the acrimony. There are going to be some decisions that are going to be contentious, whether or not to extend a contract, the elections in August and November,
But other than that, we should really silo those issues and start pulling back together. I had an interesting conversation during the break with someone who I disagree with a lot on, but I found I agreed with a lot as well. We've lost that ability to talk about what we agree with. And that will take leadership to recover that. That's been lost. It's gone. I don't see an easy return to it. But we really have to return to it. Otherwise, we're going to be doing a major disservice to our students and the community as a whole. I just wanted you to think about this and see where it takes you in the days and weeks ahead. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mr. Cleary. All right, next item is items from the board, superintendent. So superintendent, attorney for discussion. You all want to queue up or we'll go around the room? Mr. Persis.
Nothing.
Mrs. Cuthbert.
Anxious to get out.
Okay, I gotcha. I just wanted to thank all the speakers who came today. I'm sure this board will do the best we can with a lot of the legislative difficulties that are ahead of us. I'm wearing the colors of Ukraine tonight. A freedom needs to be identified by many people, and the Ukrainians right now are just showing exactly what democracy is all about and how precious it all is. I'm of Russian descent, but it's also Ukrainian descent. And today, my grandfather's city is in Belarus. So I was raised with that Western Asia, Eastern European thought. And we had Russian Orthodox priests in our family. I had an uncle. I had to call him Father Tony, never uncle. And so it's the rich history. 22 years ago, my husband and I, during spring break, went to Russia. We were in Moscow. We lit candles for our family members. We visited the Kremlin. We visited a brand new McDonald's that was in town. But we only had the visa to stay in Moscow. It was the first time, and this was only 22 years ago, I saw a gentleman at the Kremlin on the outside with a jacket like what Mr. Cologne has on, or you, had no tie on. Sorry, I made it public. But the wind opened up his jacket, and there was a strap with a gun underneath his jacket. I'd never seen that before. I saw traffic lights with soldiers with caps and long coats with a rifle strapped over their shoulder. You didn't dare cross them. And yet their sidewalks were crumbling. We were told we needed to wear real hard-soled shoes because it was so difficult to travel. Cars were parked everywhere. It was an experience I'll never, ever, ever forget. I saw pornography out in the open. I saw children, very young, carrying vodka bottles. Their restrictions are almost nil except freedom of speech and freedom of expression. So I'm very celebrating today our ability to have public participation and not for people to be retaliated against as they walk out the door. So let's think and celebrate the gifts that we have and the blessings that we have and the country in which we live in, and let's not forget how blessed we are. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Burnett?
Thank you. So when Ms. Short was speaking, she talked about the student and the teacher situation at Seabreeze. And so I just think it's a good idea for us to reflect and look and see if we do have a policy about that and to make sure that we are communicating appropriately, because if it were my child and that was the situation, I would not be very happy. So I just wanted to think about if we can think about that and if Mr. Penley can look and see if we have a policy for such movement, if we can address that. If not, if we don't have one, maybe we can address that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was is we have an important decision coming up next, our next meeting that we have. And I mentioned that it was very important that we have an evaluation for Dr. Fritz. I think that we owe him that. And I know that we're not going to have time to do that. But what I've done is I asked Aaron to make copies. I'm going to go through and using this tool that we all agreed upon at a workshop, I'm going to do an evaluation. And while I know that we don't have all the data that we need, I think it's the fair thing to do. The community said they like the strategic plan. This follows the strategic plan. And it'll give us a good idea, a good guide, a good baseline. And like they do take stocks in school, we'll do a take stock on this with using this tool. It'll also kind of keep us focused where we won't be spending too much time on one subject and we can address everything that we need to address. So I've made Aaron made copies for everybody. If you'd like one, I think she can pass those out, but that is my plan. And I know spring break's coming up, so everybody enjoy.
Ms. Haynes.
So to add on to what Mrs. Burnett said at first, and I think Carl and Linda would probably agree with me, I know that in my entire teaching career, there was a year I changed grade levels because there was a first grade class that needed some stability. But and it was awkward the way it happened. I had to go out of town for a funeral, and I returned, and the principal called me in and said, I need you to leave your third grade class, and I need you to go to first grade. And I said, what happened, you know, like, to my third graders, like, not follow? And they said, no, your third graders were beautifully. They're well-trained. They know what to do. But we've got a first grade class that's not had any stability. And first graders that haven't had stability don't know how to sit in chairs, okay? they sit under tables and desks and everything else. So I was given 2 days to make a move. But and at that time, Dave Fisher was my principal. And what I will say, though, is he communicated beautifully. He communicated with all of the parents in the third grade classroom that I was leaving, and he communicated with all the first grade parents where I was going, and he shared why it was happening and what needed to happen. So throughout my entire career, any time a move has happened or a change has had to be made, or even if a teacher you know, is going to have to go out for an extended period of time, I've always worked with great administrators who have always communicated that. Because I say all the time, children will be most successful, no matter what age they are, if we communicate and we build strong bridges with their parents, and so that we have their parent support. Because I think sometimes we don't give parents the credit that they deserve. Parents are understanding if we communicate with them. So it's a little heartbreaking to me to hear that, you know, the 11th graders lost their teacher and the 9th graders got it. And I think we could all probably justify why the 9th graders needed their teacher, just like that year I moved from 3rd to 1st. But we probably wouldn't be in this situation had we communicated well. But beyond that, I'm looking forward to the rest of the week. I know some of us are still going to head out and see our maintenance and facilities workers. And I had a fun time with yours yesterday morning. They were a great group. And we're serving breakfast this week. And schools have wonderful activities going on, you know, heading into the spring break week. And so I want to wish every one of you, as well as everyone listening, all of our students, you know, our parents, our teachers and staff, I hope everyone, even if all you do is, you know, I hear Netflix isn't a popular thing for a lot of people, or go to the beach, visit your grandchildren or, you know, your children. I hope everyone has a wonderful spring break and they get some rest and relaxation and they're ready to come back for the final quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Darn.
If you're going to watch. That I have ever seen sci-fi, and it will just take a lot of reading to
Where is it?
Fantastic.
Where is it?
1883, Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm.
But it, movies, streaming?
Streaming,
yeah. Streaming, okay.
Along the lines of Ms. Burnett, Ms. Comfort has asked me to send out a little thing, I don't want to call it a stack of papers, so I'll send that on to you too, similar to your concept of let's look at the old document for purposes of evaluation. She has some stuff, so I'll get that out to you in the morning.
Thank you. Dr. Fritz?
Well, it is spring break time. I'd like to wish everybody a phenomenal spring break and thank all those that do everything from classes, classroom teachers, to our paras, to our bus drivers. I would like to take the opportunity to thank my leaders that run our schools and that run our departments, and especially my cabinet. It takes guts to be a leader. You don't always make the right decision, but you're willing to stand up and do it. This cabinet has worked tirelessly. There have been so many accomplishments. I'm so very proud of each and every one of you. I really want you to take some time next week. I want you to take some time and relax and enjoy yourself and get ready for the final push. You do it every day, and you never ask for help. You never ask for thank yous. You just do it. So I thank you very much for what you do, and enjoy next week. Chair.
Thank you. With that being said, we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you, and everyone have a safe spring break. It is 6:30.